This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back on the air for episode 425 for December 29th, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you're watching a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And in that same intersection, my podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I just had this picture of me getting smeared in the middle of that intersection.
No, we look both ways, don't we?
That's right.
That's the whole point.
Time to close out 2015 with our best of 2015 episode. This is one I look forward to for a number of reasons. Always nice to wrap up the year and nice to look back at the things we've talked about.
And 2015 was a very eventful year. Another reason that you look forward now more to this show than you ever did is we used to make you pick your worst three picks, which led to some challenges in the past. So now we stay positive. We take the high road. It's the best of from end to end to this show.
And I am a happy girl for that reason. So that's a good thing. Very good.
The challenge with this show, as we found in the past, is keeping it shorter. People have maybe a shorter attention span during these holidays. We'll be releasing this just a couple days before the new year. We realize a lot of people are taking vacations, but we hope you are taking us with you, and hope you'll enjoy this best of 2015. We've tried to categorize, make sense of, compress as much as we can, I think you'll enjoy this show. So where do we start, Sally?
Well, I think right off the bat, we should talk about some of the favorite things we did this year in terms of events, because this was the year of our first ever, or at least the first time we've done a Wells Tech conference, the next generation of Wells Tech conferences.
First one that's been done in conjunction with this little show we do, too. So.
Correct. Yeah. And we managed to pull together about 250 of our closest techie buddies there in Waukesha, Wisconsin for a three-day event. And it was, beginning of July timeframe? I don't even remember dates now. July 9th, 10th, and 11th, I think. I had that memorized for a long time. We had a great group of people that worked with us to plan the event, and we actually broadcast live our 400th podcast during the event, which was a super fun thing to actually have a live audience. We took a selfie picture. We had a lot of different people come on stage and do live interviews in front of the audience, including Ian Welch, Bob Albrecht, and Pastor Rob Gunther, Wells Tech Hall of Famer. So that was fun in and of itself from the podcast perspective, but just that face-to-face fellowship time with all of our like-minded techies out there was just a real joy for me.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts as well. And some of the feedback we got from the attendees, that was kind of a highlight for them as well. Yeah, the sessions were great. The keynotes were good. But the ability just to socially interact with and engage with other people who are like-minded, ministry-minded, technology-minded people wanting to serve the Lord with all they've got, that was truly a highlight of the conference. And another consistent comment was, well, we need to do this again. And we don't have a firm date, but we definitely have some thoughts on doing this again, maybe a little bit different format, we don't know yet, but we're definitely going to be doing something because it was such a success, at least in our minds. So
definitely. And as if getting together and interviewing people in front of live audiences one time this summer was enough, we had to do it again just 3 weeks afterwards. We were fortunate enough to both be at Synod Convention, and it was time to do a Wells Tech podcast. And so there we were in front of the cameras once again, with this time not three interviewees, but four. We had Professor Paul Kalpin from MLC, Professor Carl Hochmuth from Luther Prep, Missionary Terry Schultz joined joined us and told us some of his Caribbean stories. He's quite a fun guy. And then layman Brent Nimmers from Atonement in Plano, Texas was with us as well. So that was one for the books as well. We were sky high on the One in Christ vibe that was going on at Synod Convention, and it was really neat to be able to podcast there as well.
Yeah, there's just kind of a built-in energy at those conventions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, a lot of like-minded people coming together for the work of the Lord, and no shortage of people to choose from interviews, and we had some good ones there. So yeah, definitely a highlight. So that month of July was a doubleheader there. Took a big sigh. You know, once we were done, boy, that's a lot of work, but it was worth the effort. And we look forward to those kind of milestone episodes, of course, but also getting together with a lot of different people who are one in Christ.
Speaking of milestone episodes, I just am reminded that at that 400th episode, we had a little bit of a challenge, and that we would look forward to our 500th, and that would be happening kind of in sync with another 500th anniversary that's coming up in our future. And that is the fact that we're going to all be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation in the year 2017. And I'm not quite sure what date our 500th show will fall on, but it will be in the year 2017. So we're kind of racing Martin Luther to number 500. So that's fun.
I'm looking forward to it. New and notable is the next segment or category of best of new things that we did, notable things that we did in 2015. One of them was, well, we decided and are still in the midst of writing a book. So we got our heads together and said, well, what kind of book needs to be written? So this is our little project. You may have recalled that we wrote kind of an e-book couple years back on website content. We've done some writing exercises in the past, but this is by, in my opinion, the most ambitious we've been. So we're writing a chapter a month. We call the book With All Your Heart, right? And it's a book about project management in the church, school, or other faith-based organizations. Didn't know that a resource out there existed like that. So we are, I don't know what chapter five maybe is up next, something like that. So I'm having fun, you know, doing it. There's a lot of content available, and I think we're getting some good feedback as well, getting some great interviews, and using a new tool, which is new to us, and that's this Microsoft tool called Sway. And Sally, you've gotten to know Sway far better than maybe you thought you would.
Yep, I'm swayed that direction these days, and enjoying that experience as well. And so, yeah, lots of different things to learn in the process of writing the book. Ultimately, our goal would be to turn it into a real paper book, not just have it as a digital product, but also as a paper book when we're done with the writing. So I was going to ask you, Martin, if you were still as enthusiastic about it as when we started, as it turned out to be a good amount of work to write a book. But I think
it is. I think some chapters flow a little bit easier than others, which I guess is understandable. But I think it helps to kind of have the both of us looking at it from different angles, and yeah, and then again, getting guest interviews in to talk about how they're tackling a particular topic. So if you haven't had a chance to read the book, you can go back to our show notes page and find links to it there. But there is a whole web address dedicated to book material, and that is withallyourheart.tech, T-E-C-H. And you'll find our progress there. So that's new and notable. That's a big deal. So
one more in this category, Martin, that I'll just throw out there is something new we started just this fall. And people that have listened to the podcast for a long time know that we've had kind of our standard way of doing things for quite a while. But one thing that we did this year was we took all that great community feedback that we regularly receive from lots of different communication channels, and we we combine it into one episode per month. And those episodes are actually quickly becoming some of my very favorites because they cover a variety of topics. There's something for everyone. And we just learn so much in that process of hearing from the audience. And you know, our community is definitely what makes Wells Tech what it is. And we appreciate all the feedback, and we enjoy learning those new things that you guys are putting in place in your church and school settings. So definitely tune in for those community feedback shows. Those happen once a month, I think typically around the third week of the month. So,
yeah, and I think that is something we maybe should emphasize in 2016 is getting more and more people involved. We know we have a lot of listeners and viewers, many of whom probably have never contributed to the show, and I'm sure they have stuff to contribute. So we'd like to encourage everybody who watches or listens to feel free to share with us their thoughts, questions, ideas, whatever, even if they've been asked or answered before. I think it's a great community kind of building thing and helps everybody. So that's great. So you mentioned community feedback is becoming one of your favorite episodes. Do you have any other favorite episodes from 2015?
I actually do, and this is a little personal bias, but there was an episode toward the end of May when I was actually able to be at the CMM and broadcast side by side with you, Martin, in what is now the CMM video studio that's been built there in a little corner of the office building. And I kind of felt like I was sitting at the Channel 6 news desk. It was a different experience for me to actually be able to sit there and do the broadcast next to you. We started this 8 years ago now, and I would say of all those 425 episodes, we've maybe been side by side for 10 or less of them. And so so those are special for me in general, and this one in particular where we were actually in that studio setting and looking real professional there. So that one was a lot of fun. We called it Touring the Backlot because we kind of talked about the new studio and the capabilities there. So fun episode.
Yep.
How about you?
That would definitely be one of them. I think I'm in total agreement with the community feedback ones, even though we've only done like three of them. Those have been really interesting to talk through and think through the different ideas that are coming in. We also started kind of a fun thing that we called Imagine That. And that's kind of fun too, where we were focusing on photography and different challenges related to, getting our people involved, getting people used to the creative process, mm-hmm. not just photography, but finding images, how you're going to use images, and really kind of highlighting the importance of visuals in ministry.
Yeah, we went through stock photography options. You spent some time explaining how to use your camera well, which is always a nice lesson for everyone. I think a lot of people have really nice DSLR cameras because they're popular these days, but just barely scratch the surface of what they're capable of. And that concept of building your own photo library of images that you have the copyright to, that you don't have to rely on other people to supply your imagery. We got into a little bit of easy image editing. You know, we were kind of all over the board in terms of imagery. And I think perhaps maybe generated more feedback on that topic than we have in a long time. Those six episodes, it was pretty much the month of August that we did that, were very, very popular and lots of engagement with our audience around imagery. So a topic that touches a lot of areas of ministry. So I thought that was a lot of fun.
Speaking of a lot of fun, one of the highlights, I think, of every show that we do it are the interviews that we have. Mm-hmm. So it's not just you and I, batting the ball back and forth, but we bring somebody else in, an expert, somebody who's got some experiences that might be worth sharing. And that is a lot of fun. Any favorite interviews from 2015?
This was super easy for me to think of because at the top of my list was the opportunity to sit with missionary Mike Hartman, who serves in Mexico. He actually was here on campus at Martin Luther College and sat with me in my office. And we did the hangout with you remotely, Martin. And that was just so special for me. Mike's a longtime listener of the show. He and his wife, Rachel, have contributed countless times and shared lots of great ideas. And they're also just super gracious and always telling us how they're using the ideas in their own ministry setting that Wells Tech delivers to them. So they also make it real personal in that they like that connection with the states and stuff. And it's an opportunity to feel part of the community that all of our listeners are in, and still be in that remote mission location. So having him on the show was super special. We got to hear about the tremendous success that their efforts are having currently as they are using Facebook and different mobile apps and things to reach out all across Latin America.
Their Academia Cristo project, yeah.
Neat. Yeah, and hundreds of thousands of people are getting these messages. I know just recently I saw a post from Academia Cristo on Facebook where they were sharing the My Son, My Savior movie from our evangelism area, and they've produced that in Spanish, so that's something they're sharing through Academia Cristo. And so just lots and lots of wonderful blessings in the Latin American mission fields, and for that we're really thankful.
Yep. I kind of struggle with this one, but there were so many great interviews that we had this year, and we're looking forward to more in 2016. But one of my favorites was also done on the MLC campus. I was up there, I don't know when we did this, but event it was in. That was with our, there was some kind of conference. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, we interviewed my nephew, Jonathan Witte, who is a student at MLC, and he told us a little bit about some of the cool things that he is doing on campus. So he works in the promotions, I don't know what department.
Public relations.
Public relations department. Mm-hmm. Does a lot of the photography. But one of the things that we found very interesting was his aerial photography, that he hooks up a camera to a drone and flies them over. He showed us some of the stuff, the cool things that he uses to do that. And he's just into that kind of stuff, and the campus and the college there just benefits from it. And he was very open in sharing that, and very talented guy.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He is a super talented young man, and it was a blessing to have him on the show. I follow him on Instagram and see some of his photography creations there, and he just recently shared with me a new app that he's using that I thought was really cool. So listen for that in the future. Jonathan has influence on Wells Tech, and I'm going to be sharing that as a pick of the week soon. So,
cool.
Good guy.
The next kind of groupings of best ofs were giveaways, and that's always kind of fun. We had a lot of giveaways related to the Wells Tech conference that we had over the summer, and we've got one ongoing right now.
Yeah, first we'll mention the Wells Tech Conference, and in particular the big winner at Wells Tech Conference. And we had the opportunity to interview Alan Bunt, who's a layman in the Good Shepherd, Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin congregation. And he told us about how he's making use of his Chromebook Pixel. That was the grand prize, if you want to call it that, at the Wells Tech Conference. We had, I don't know, probably three or four regular Chromebook giveaways. We had an iPad giveaway. We had all kinds of other giveaways. I think someone even won some sweet Milwaukee Brewers tickets in a diamond box or something like that. It was just a lot of fun to be at Wells Tech Conference because you had a really great chance of winning. But Alan in particular won a Chromebook Pixel, which is a high-end Chromebook with fantastic touch graphics
screen,
and yeah. So it was neat to have him on, and he was definitely making good use of it in his congregation. It was amazing all the different things he was using it for. So that was fun for us to see how that giveaway was benefiting the congregation. So
yep.
We mentioned earlier, Martin, that we had that Imagine That series where we talked all about images, and that was what kind of led to this next giveaway connected to a little bit of a challenge for our listeners.
Yeah, and that was the Wells Tech Photo Challenge, where every month we're giving everybody an assignment, usually two different kinds of subjects, and now we've kind of thrown in a kind of a theme through a Bible passage where we want people to take photos go out, take photos around these particular topics. So this month it's Advent, and what's the other one?
Christmas and John 1 verse 9, which Christmas is about the light John, coming right. into the world.
Yep. So every month we put that out there, and you submit your photos, and by submitting you get your name in the bucket for a chance to win some kind of photography gear, usually related to smartphone lenses, those kinds of things. And it's kind of fun, you know, watching all the photos come in, and it's building a nice little pool of different photos, copyright free, that anybody can use. So there's just some beautiful ones in there.
Yep, we're up to 345 photos, to be exact, in our Flickr library. And you can get to that at WT Challenge Album. Wow, had a hard time to remember all these URLs. And we'll definitely have it in the show notes. But go check it out. We've already got some submissions with this month's theme of Christmas and light. And there's some, I think, that'll be really wonderful to use in different ministry settings as the years go by and Christmas and Advent season come up again. But lots and lots of great photos, and we're spanning the seasons and the church year with our themes as we travel through the different months. We're going to keep doing this all the way through next summer, so there's time for you to get involved and get your name in the hat for winning some of those cool photo gear prizes that Martin was referring to.
Yep. Two more categories to go. We'll save our picks for last. The next to last category are groupings of best ofs. Our ministry resource is a very important part of the show, where we try and pick a resource that can be taken and applied directly to ministry. And sometimes that comes from community feedback. Sometimes we scour our resources or the web or whatever and figure that, hey, this could be very useful and maybe timely for a season of the year. So best of ministry resources, what do we have in that category, Sally?
Well, you know, Martin, this one was really hard for me. We do the ministry resources a little bit different on the website. We have a lengthy list of ministry resources. We don't divide them by the year, but it's just an ongoing, ever-growing list. So if you were to scroll through this, I guess I'd probably say this page is probably one of the best ministry resources we have, because it's really exhaustive. And so it's really hard to look at it and even know which ones we added this year, because there's such a big mix here. So some that came to mind for me, or some of the more recent ones we've added, the My Son, My Savior movie is obviously a great ministry resource, as are the Road to Emmaus and Come Follow Me movies, all three of them wonderful outreach movies you can do Bible studies around, all kinds of things there. There's a new video series through the Missouri Synod called A Man Named Martin, and they've produced part one of that series, again, leading up to that special anniversary celebration of the Reformation, the 500th anniversary in 2017. So each year they're going to be doing another part of that video series, and I think it's worth folks taking a look at from the historical standpoint of the Reformation. And then another one I remembered recently was one about 10 reasons to use video and why it should be on your radar for the year 2016. So all three of those are definitely video related, but there's all kinds of ministry resources on this page. It's pretty lengthy, so definitely check it out.
Nice. And thanks to you, Sally, for your labor of love there by keeping all those pages up to date. And that would be maybe a pick right in and of itself, is just the whole show notes page, our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, where we just have basically everything since we started the show. All the interviews listed, all the ministry resources, all the picks, just kind of a wealth of intersections of technology and ministry we've tried to create over the years. So if you're not familiar with the site, take some time, do a little searching, click a few buttons and see what might be waiting there for you to use.
I was just going to say that search box maybe is my best friend, because that's unlocks it all. You can put in whatever you're looking for, even Bob Ross, and you can find him on the website.
You can find Bob Ross still there. Yes, lives on.
Yeah.
All right. Now it is time for our best of picks of the year. And we both picked our top five, And as we normally do on the show, I will let ladies go first.
All righty.
What's your number five pick?
I'm happy to lead off, and my number five pick is a piece of personal technology, wearable technology, which is the trend these days, and that's my Strive fitness band. I've got it on right here. I put it on about the end of May this year, and I take it off at night when I go to sleep, but besides that, it's been my trusty companion all year long, and it's helped me to be a lot more physically fit. It's a lot of fun to just kind of track how much I'm moving, and it's really fun if your spouse is to get one with and you kind of race each other. So that's what Kevin and I did this year, and it made a big difference for us. I know we've had shows in the past, Martin, where we've talked about fitness apps and fitness wearable gear and things like that, but I finally took the plunge, and I'm really glad I did, and it definitely motivated me to move a lot more this year than I have in the past. So that is my number five pick.
Taking care of the temple, as they say.
So, there you go.
Awesome. My pick is a little app that we launched a couple years back called the Wells Mobile Yearbook. And I bring it up as a pick because it's basically the yearbook now. It used to kind of just be mobile only, but now we've kind of removed the PDF pages that we used to post on the website and are directing people to this site. And the website, you can get to it from the mobile app, of course, Wells Mobile. Just search for that and download that to your smartphone and look under Synod Reports, and you'll find the yearbook entry, and it'll take you here. But you can also go to this on the web. MYB stands for Mobile Yearbook, myb.wells.net. And you come to just kind of a simple search engine that you can search by people or organization. And then within those groups, you can search by last name and city, or one or the other. Same with organizations. And it's super simple, super quick to do a quick search. One of the neat things is once you get an entry up, there's usually easy buttons there to make a phone call or send an email, or even find directions if it is an organization. So we tried to make it just as clean and simple as it could be, and I think more and more people are going to find this useful, whether they're on the road or sitting in their office or whatever, and just need to kind of look up somebody in the Synod, another call worker, or find a church or a school, whatever, preschool. It's all in this app. Now, we're updating it every month now. The last update was the 15th of this month, so about the middle of each month we'll do an extract and pump up the new data there, so it's not totally real time, but it's as current as can be useful or reasonable. So myb.wells.net, that is my fifth pick of the week.
Time for me to talk about fourth place, and my fourth place pick of the year is actually a website I discovered in relation to our friends at Google. So I'm going to do a quick screen share to show you the Guru website. It's thegooru.com, and the Guru website specializes in Google Apps, and there's a lot of interest for Google Apps for education, but Google Apps can be used in work settings as well. So it's not just education, but all Google Apps. And you can see in the top, they have it divided between Gmail, Drive, and administrative type things. And then they have the ability to get to any topic related to Google. They have it organized for beginners. They have video tutorials, they have intermediate topics, and they one of the best features is that they have a daily email newsletter. And I began getting their email, and I started learning all kinds of tricks about Google. Typically, they put together a little short blog post, basically, which describes some kind of a hint. They also have training guides. They have it all on this website. But you can watch like a one-minute, two-minute video and learn a lot just from the topics they share in their email. So that's theguru.com.
That's a neat resource. For some reason, I don't remember that one, whether I was, you know, not paying attention or maybe I missed that week, but that's a cool thing. And it looks like it's really, really well done too. So Guru, G-O-O-R-U. My number four, Sally, is something called Square. Square Cash. And this wasn't too long ago that this was my pick of the week. And this is a mobile app or a mobile solution, although it's available on the web as well, that allows payment to be made safely and quickly between individuals and also organizations. So there's also a business solution here at a fairly inexpensive transaction rate of 2.75%. So as rates go, that's not too bad. But if you have to give somebody money or get money from somebody, this is something to consider. You hook it up to your debit card and you give it the appropriate information, and then you can send little invoices, so to speak, and people can simply accept it. And if they've got the app, it's available on iOS or Android. All they have to do is push a button and the money gets transferred. You can also set up a website. This comes along with it, cash.me/whatever your login is, where people can go and punch in whatever dollar figure they want that would come into your account. One of the things I like most about this is the simplicity and ease of use. It takes about 2 minutes to set up, and we'll work with your contact list, and just kind of works. We share, one way I use it personally is we share a family plan for our phones. So my grown-up kids have to pay their way, even though they're still on our family share plan. So they get a little bill from me every month, and it's very easy for them to press a button and pay their share of the phone bill. So I think of lots of advantages to this, both personally and corporately. So it's something you may want to check out. Cash.me is the website.
Good stuff. I like that family plan payment. We do a little bit of that in my family too, but maybe not so sophisticated. So good idea.
What's number three for Sally Draper?
Number three may be considered somewhat of a boring topic when it comes to technology and ministry. It relates to copyright. Boring topic, but something very important that we should all be paying attention to in our churches and schools. And I have a new friend in the world of copyright. It's the Copyright Coach, and you can get there at thecopyrightcoach.com. And what I found was they're offering free webinars, and they have a really amazing free ebook. I recommend it highly. That you can download for free if you go and fill out their form and give them your email address. So they are specific to congregations, church copyright, and Christian copyright. So very good information. It kind of dispels some of the myths of copyright and helps you understand what kind of licensing is necessary and whether fair use applies or not in whatever settings you want to use different resources. So it's a very challenging law to understand all of copyright, but the folks at the Copyright Coach, which is connected with the website Christian Copyright Solutions, do a very good job of explaining it. And just full disclaimer, Christian Copyright Solutions does sell products to offer you licensing for different media resources that might be used in a congregational setting. So obviously they're in it so that they hopefully can sell you some of their products, but they're giving away their knowledge about it for free. And that's super valuable because it's not an easy topic, and I think it's this is the best I've found to point people to. I think it's very well done. So that's my third pick of the year.
Not boring, but very important, very pragmatic, very practical.
Definitely.
And something that affects almost everybody. If you're involved mm-hmm. with any kind of church work, copyright is something that you need to be aware of. So you need to play by the rules. My pick number three is a product by Google called Inbox, Inbox by Gmail. And it is a replacement for your Gmail client or maybe any other client. I'm just really impressed by what they've done and continue to make improvements to this product. It's totally free, so there's no charge for it. Their tagline, the inbox that works for you. And they do a lot of smart things with it and the ability to kind of make this a graphically pleasing experience is probably one of its biggest assets as well. It's, you know, visually rich and does just a nice job of helping you through your email. It allows you to wholesale delete just kind of groupings of email. So if you've got things that are just kind of newsletters or promos or, you know, whatever, they allow you to kind of group those together. It gives you kind of a graphical view of maybe Amazon orders with a picture of the product and a quick link to tracking the package. It does a nice job with meetings that come in or trips that you have. So if it goes through your email and notices that, hey, you've got something from United Airlines and Holiday Inn and kind of packages that together in kind of a, you know, a trip view. So it tries to get you to the things that you need as quickly and as easily as possible. So if you haven't tried it yet, it's free to try, free to use. I've stuck with it, and I think it is especially useful on mobile where you've got limited screen real estate. But I think they've thought through this well and really have made email a little bit less painless or a little bit less painful, more painless, and we all need that. So if you haven't tried Inbox, if you're a Gmail user, Inbox is something I'd encourage you to take a look at.
Excellent pick. Oh, we're narrowing in to our number one choices. We're going to talk about number two on my list right now, and this is a special pick for me because I actually stole one of your picks, Martin. This wasn't even my pick of the week, but I'm making it my pick of the year.
You asked permission, so you're clear.
Yep. And this is actually from our friends at YouVersion through their mobile app, which is the Bible app. And what it allows you to do is create verse images right there in the YouVersion Bible app. So you're reading along in your mobile app, and you find a passage that's particularly meaningful to you. You can highlight it, you can hit a few buttons, and you can create that passage overlaid on some imagery. And they provide you a whole catalog of images to select from, but you can also use your own pictures. So you're not just limited to the ones that they provide for you. I was just playing with it on my phone while you were talking there. Not that I wasn't paying attention to you, but I looked up John 1 verse 9, which is our image for this month for our Wells Tech Photo Challenge. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And I found a nice image available on their website of a sunrise and overlaid it. I can change the fonts. I can change it, its size and its placement and things like that. And when I'm happy with it, then I can just save it to my phone, or I can easily share it to places like Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be. I oftentimes will create them and share them to all those places as well as on my Pinterest boards. And so I'm hopefully, you know, obviously it's a benefit to me. It's a favorite verse. It's something I want to remember, but I'm also sharing that gospel message with those I'm connected to in my social channels. And it's just a wonderful, easy way to do that, and a visually pleasing thing integrated in the Bible that you potentially are using day in and day out on your smartphone or whatever it may be. So I really like that they gave us this innovation in the Bible app, and I'm thankful that you shared it with us, Martin.
Look, the thing I like, one of the things, many things I like about it is just a simple ease of use. It's just a button. You pick a picture, right. You pick a social network to share it, and you're done. And they do a really nice job. And this year, they've had it for a year and a half or so, but this year they added the ability to add your own images, and that's mm-hmm. really cool too. So great pick, and totally free, and you know, what a way to express your faith and share that, share what's really important to you. So, cool.
Definitely.
All right. My number two pick of the year, best of 2015, is again from Google. And this is YouTube, but a special plan or way to use YouTube called YouTube Red. YouTube Red is a subscription service. I think it's $9.99 a month that strips out all the advertising, all the ads from any YouTube video. I like this because I use a lot of videos in some of the presentations that I do. So I do a lot of speaking and showing a lot of different YouTube clips or whatever, and not having to fight with the ads that have become so prevalent on YouTube is what that's a blessing, really. They also have a couple other things that go along with that. You can save videos offline on mobile devices, and so I've taken to kind of using my iPad in my presentations to save these and download these, so it doesn't really matter what the internet connection is, so I can save those offline. You can play YouTube videos in the background, so you can switch away from it on your computer, and it will still keep playing, or mobile device, and it will still keep playing. And a little added bonus for YouTube Red subscribers is you get Google Play Music subscription as well, which used to be, well, still is, $9.99 all by itself. So it's kind of two for the price of one. So if you have Google Play Music, which is millions of songs, you know, played on demand, and YouTube Red, kind of a win-win. So I think that Google has something here with YouTube and could be a very useful tool depending on your circumstances. So that is why it is my number two pick of 2015.
Awesome. Time for the big reveal, number one picks of the year. And I guess I'll just preface my number one pick of the year with, if you've listened at all this year, you probably aren't going to be surprised because for me and my family, 2015 was the year we began 3D printing. And that was a pretty major event, and that would have to be to reign supreme in our family, at least, as the pick of the year. And I have to tell you a little backstory first. My husband's been talking about 3D printing and reading about it for a very long time, and it just happened that when we were at Wells Tech Conference, of all places, he made a connection with our friend Jason Schmidt, and they got to talking about 3D printing. And Jason has talked about it on the show before, Martin. I don't know if you remember that, but he showed us some 3D printed stuff and things. They have it in his school district, so he's kind of an old pro at 3D printing. And one of the things he had done was he had printed parts to build your own 3D printer, which is something my husband was very interested in doing. And in their conversation, Jason said, oh, I'm never going to do that. I have these parts laying around. I'd be happy to share them with you. And I think he created a monster. I don't know. The rest is history anyway. And I have a little picture to share, although it's not up to date. This is one from early on. But that's what our printer looks like, and it gives you a little perspective with it sitting next to the laptop as to what size it is. The print bed, I think, is an 8-inch square. I might be wrong about that. So it can print a fairly large print. And as far as, well, when you saw the picture, if you were watching the video, the blue pieces basically were printed by Jason and shared with us. The rest of it, he ordered parts, he ordered motors, he ordered computer boards, he ordered power supplies, and on and on. And ultimately, the price tag was about $450 for this build-it-yourself printer. But to put that in perspective, you can buy some small 3D printers, perhaps at the $500 price range. But for one with an 8-inch bed to print as large as we can, you'd probably be talking over $1,000 for a comparable printer that you bought off the shelf. So that gives you a little idea there. So we started printing, and one of the first things we printed was our name. And then we printed Marvin's. Martin is holding up his Marvin. I actually brought a whole selection of Marvin's with me. Marvin is actually a little print job that Kevin downloaded from the internet. You use it on the site 3D Hubs. But we actually have innovated, Martin, and I don't think you've seen these Marvins. We have a ginormous Marvin.
Whoa, that's a big Marvin.
Yeah, he's really big. He took 17
hours. That's
like
baseball size.
So
that
was
what was printing up all night. Okay.
Yeah. And just recently, he found a Christmas ornament Marvin. So I don't know if you've seen that one either. It's kind of multifaceted. And I had him print me a little tag so we'll remember that it's from 2015. So that's our official Martin Oh, Marvin, Christmas ornament. Man, I'm really messed up. But we didn't stop there with Christmas ornaments. There was some Wells Tech Christmas ornament designs. We sent a few of those around to some of our Wells Tech friends. Jason and Gail got one in the mail, as did Rob Gunther and Leslie Bergman. So thanking them for all of their Wells Tech contributions. For my family, he did a two-color one. He actually printed a background color of green that's kind of translucent, and then did the cutout letters for our family name. So all of the people in my family got a two-colored ornament. And just one more in my show and tell, he printed me a swing, which is super fun. This was obviously three different prints because of the different colors involved and stuff. So those are kind of silly things, but it takes a lot of practice and a lot of work to understand temperatures and all kinds of things associated with your prints. I will tell you that we have recouped the $450. Kevin did two really legitimate things with this printer so far. One of them was our son's car door didn't open from the inside. It's kind of an old clunker car, and when you pulled the handle up, nothing happened. You had to get out and let the person out of the passenger door. So Kevin took that all apart. He figured out what was missing, and he designed a part for it and fixed the car handle. So you can actually open the car door from inside the car. So there you go. That's half the $450 right there. The so other half was
some kind of warranty on that too.
He can print another one any old time, so okay, warranties aren't needed. That's right. The other one was for my mother-in-law. She showed up at Thanksgiving holding a part from her dishwasher. You know how you roll out the rack on the bottom of the dishwasher? Well, one of her rollers was broken, and literally while we were eating Thanksgiving dinner, Kevin went in, designed a part that looked like her wheel that she had with her, and printed her a couple of them to take home with her, and she fixed her dishwasher with that. So there's the other half of the $450 accounted for right there. So, you know, it may seem a stretch to make that my pick of the year on Wells Tech, but I'll say what I said before when I made it my pick of the week, and that is it's definitely going to have an impact on our future. And I think this self-fabrication of things will come to play as our future develops. And so from that perspective, from the education perspective, I think it's a solid pick of the year, and I'm going to stick with it. So there you have it. That's my pick of the year, 3D printing, Wells Tech style. We even have ornaments to prove it. So there you go.
Well, that's going to be hard to top, Sally.
Go for it. You just try.
No, I can't. I can't. Mine is so small and minuscule by comparison. I feel bad now. I almost don't want to share my top pick.
No. We want to hear it, Martin.
All right. My top pick is something that usually a pick is something you use all the time. Back when we did the top, three and bottom three picks, that's kind of how we develop those lists. So our top three would be those things that kind of made a difference, like your 3D printer. And the bottom three were things that we picked that, we thought they were good at the time, but, they kind of fell off the radar. They were a gimmick or, they weren't as good as we thought they were. So my top pick is something that I use day in and day out, and that's a bookmarking tool. And it's called Pinboard. It's at pinboard.in, and the reason that I'm using Pinboard is that Digo kind of went off into left field a little bit off the rails, where they kind of started charging an unreasonable amount for what they were providing for free before. And so it didn't seem like they were paying a lot of attention to their customers or the educational market or whatever, so I went and hunt this past year for a new bookmarking tool. And I had a couple requirements. It needed to be quick, and it needed to be able to be shared, because what I do for a lot of the classes that I teach or workshops is I try and give them just one link for all the things that I was maybe talking about during the presentation. And Pinboard does that. It's not a free product. It costs all of $11 a year. It's basically one guy that does this. And it's a very Spartan website and very simple, but that's why it's so fast, too. It's called Social Bookmarking for Introverts. One of the reasons they call it that way is it's not really built for social as much, but you can share links. and share groupings of links, and it works great on the phone, works great on a computer. It's really simple to tag your links and group them. And it's just, again, the whole front page is, probably got 100 words on it altogether. But once you log in, you've got access to, all of the stuff by whatever tagging scheme you want. So totally flexible. They have the ability to star things. You can organize, you can delete, you can make things public, you can make things private. You can add notes in here. Just kind of a neat, very simple, very approachable tool that I think is, if you're looking for a bookmarking tool and you're kind of fed up with like the Digos of the world, this is a great solution. That's why it's number one for me for 2015. It's just something that I really couldn't live without at this point. So.
And I'm sure you just made that one man operations day to pick it as your pick of the year.
Well, you know, got a lot of customers, I'm sure, but
yeah. One of the things I like with tools like that is flexibility, and it looks like that one has plenty of flexibility. So you can make it what you need it to be to meet your business and personal needs. So looks like a great pick.
Yep. So that's going to do it for our best of 2015. One thing we didn't want to leave the show without doing this last show of the year is our featured video, because there's so many to choose from during this holiday season, and we found a good one for you this year show.
A mashup of two of our favorite artist skills. So we have a song for you from Coin A, very popular church band from the Milwaukee area. And this year they partnered with Jason Jasperson, who's an artist friend of mine, personal friend, because he lives here in the New Ulm area. And Jason did some sand art for them to go along with their music. And I say this year, this probably was produced last year because he actually did some touring with them and would do the sand art live as they were performing. Just an amazing talent that he has. And this week's song is A Son Emmanuel, and it has this stop motion sand art to accompany the Coin A music. So I'm sure you will enjoy it. Please visit our show notes website at wellstech.wells.net to watch the video.
Yep. And since you mentioned the website, while you're there, leave a comment or visit one of our social channels, Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter, the listserv, Digo, Instagram, all those we have a presence on. And one thing that we really love about this show is the fact that you talk to us and we can have a dialogue and talk about some of those intersections of technology and ministry that you found. So please join the conversation, as we say.
Sally, and that conversation will continue in 2016. I bet that's
transition.
What you were just going to say.
Yes.
We are going to do a show in 2016, our first of 2016, our eighth anniversary show, and we're going to be talking about Google Cardboard and the world of virtual reality.
That's another
Should
hot
be fun.
Topic. Yeah, just right up there with 3D printing these days. So, So tune in the new year for episode 426. We're going to keep her going. As long as you want to listen to us and talk to us, we're going to keep her going. So, Sally, have a blessed new year, and I'll talk to you in 2016.